So last time we got together was before grand opening, and we walked through 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were in verses 7 to 18, and we were walking through God's plan for the ministry, and we were setting up grand opening. I don't know if you remember that. It's like, hey, we're going to walk through a passage here that's like coming after what we're going to preach on grand opening Sunday. Get ready, guys. And the title of it's called Bring It On. Bring it on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a few words there. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And so on. Towards the end there, it says, do not lose heart. That's what we were going through the last time. Bring it on. Whatever it takes, physical, emotional, spirit, whatever, Lord, we're ready that you might get the greater glory. And we knew what we were talking about somewhat. We're reading the word. We're real to it. We didn't know what we were talking about somewhat. And there's been a lot that's gone on since then. I mean, we had Steve Belzer in the hospital for a month off and on with the kidney stone thing. Where's Steve? Is he in here? There you go. And it's so like a month going on there. We got we had Kent diagnosed with lymphoma. I've got this tumor thing going on. We're hopefully surgery next week and get that over with. And, hey, God's brought a lot on. And we have a lot going on physically. That's just a few elders. We have a lot of people in this body hurting and wrestling. And bring it on. Well, that's a great statement. How do we handle it when it comes? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what we're talking about tonight. How to engage with power prayer. Nothing happens without power prayer. Nothing. We can talk about it all we want. We can macho it up. But I'm telling you, if our knees do not have the imprint of the carpet of our home, nothing's happening. May God be glorified as we find out, maybe for the first time for some of us, what it means to have our hearts unlocked, to have the Holy Spirit rock us as prayer becomes more than some Christianese statement, but it becomes my lifestyle. That's what we're talking about tonight. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. Engaging God's way, power prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1. Power prayer, the first statement. Power prayer is compassionate. Power prayer is compassionate. We're just going to walk through Nehemiah's prayer example and what we'd have to learn from him. Listen to this phrase. Matthew Henry wrote this. When God intends great mercy for his people, the first thing he does is set them to praying. God at work means, Lord, we need to hear from you and we need to know where you're headed. What do you want done? Power prayer is compassionate. To start in verse 1 here. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev in the 20th year as I was in Susa, the capital, and so on with some names. He gets to the end here. He says in verse 3, and they said to me, the remnant there in the province who has survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. Got to get the picture here. Nehemiah, he's with the king in Babylon. He's been taken captive and his job is to be cupbearer. He has to test all the fine wine and all the food and make sure that it's not poisoned. Because if someone was going to get to the king, one thing they could do is poison food or water. And so they have him taste it first, and then they watch him. And as long as he's doing good at the end of the drink, they're like, okay, I guess it's good for the king. And so that was his job, to dine with the king first in case. He was living high on the hog, all right? He hears word from back in Jerusalem from those who had survived the exile, from those who had survived being taken captive by Babylon. And the word is this. They're in great trouble. Worse. Their heads are low. They're in shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. Hey, back then, a city was nothing without a wall. That was the protection. If you wanted a wall to surround, that was the thing you defended with. Otherwise, anybody could walk in day or night. You could be taken over in a heartbeat. The walls were down in Jerusalem. People were devastated. There was no food, barely living. They had shame to their name. His response, verse 4, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. It drove his heart to be stirred. And from his heart being stirred, it drove him to his knees in prayer. Can't tell you how thankful I've been just in the few short weeks here, as so many have said, hey, I'm praying for you guys, praying for your family. And I'm telling you, when we sense in a real way what somebody's going through and then rallying to their side, it means a lot to them. It means a lot to you. You're getting the picture of what God's doing in it. Power prayer starts with your heart getting what God's doing and what God wants done. It says that he was fasting and praying because they had lost their city, they had lost hope. And sometimes guys are kind of notorious for not being compassionate. There's times where our wives may think we're a little matter of fact or we don't quite get it. So let me help you out. Compassion. Top three things you should never say if you're going to be compassionate. All right? Top three things. Number one, oh, come on, suck it up. Right? How many times have you thought that? Somebody walks in and they're saying, yeah, this and this and this happened. You're like, whatever. Whine away. What is your problem? That's a small deal, man. And then our family walks in with their struggles and we're like, seriously? I've dealt with bigger all day long. Can you please handle one thing? Now, really, I need you to handle this, right? And so our denial of the problem, we're like, I really don't want to hear it. Just suck it up. Right? That's not very compassionate. Number two, not just denial, referral. Don't you love these? They're like, oh, I know what you mean. That's like when this happened to me, right? And so they're like, my story. And you're like, yeah, you, but me, right? But yeah, you, but me. And it's kind of always, I just want you to understand me, though. And by the time you get done talking to them, you're like, I'm kind of sick of talking about it because no matter what I talk about, they have a story that trumps me. Have you ever been in those talks? Where you're sitting at the table and you're like, I'm just going to be quiet now, right? And be careful. Don't be that guy that always turns it around. Hey, it's not wrong at times to go, I know what you mean. I've been there. Hey, here's how I'm praying for you now. And you turn it back to them, but with insight. That's cool, okay? But be careful if it always is whatever you suggest, it somehow is going to have something to do with my great life. You wouldn't believe how awesome I am. And so I'm going to have you know more about me. It's just a downer to be around, all right? Don't just shut it down. Don't just turn it to you. Or here's the good one, right? Yeah, how about them Bears? Like, I don't want to talk about this topic. You know, like, man, my wife and I have been struggling. We're trying to have a baby, and we can't get pregnant. And, dude, is Cutler going to be playing on Sunday? Do you have any idea? Right? You're like, I don't want to talk about this. And so we, like, ignore it, and we step aside. And be careful. Oftentimes, our unwillingness to engage or care for someone can be the very beginning of the end of our prayer life. Okay? Prayer. It starts with compassion. Like, I need to know what you're going through. Not denying them, not referring it to yourself, not avoiding it. Some great compassion steps. Just pay attention. Hear what they're saying. Maybe even participating in the conversation a little bit by bouncing it back at them. Pay attention, participate, and then pray hard. That's compassionate involvement, all right? Here's a quote. It's hard to align with the heart of God when you don't have the tenderness of God. It's hard to align with the heart of God when you don't have the tenderness of God. Our first job is to have compassion like crazy. Lord, show me where your heart breaks. Jesus wept. Biblical phrase. God sees what's going on and his heart breaks. He's in there in the pain moments. How about you? I just wrote another one. The fuel to your praying fire is a heart for knowing where God is at work. What's going on, Lord, and how do you want me to be praying for? How do you want me to be a part of it? What do you want me to say into it? What might be done there that... Question, what's God made you aware of? Look, when God brings something across your bow, when you know about somebody hurting or a family hurting, when you know about a friend who's hurting, God's not bringing that across your bow so you can just have a little piece of info, a little factoid, and move on. God's stirring your heart. He's waking you up. Have some compassion for what's going on for those around you in whatever race God puts you there. I'm telling you guys, if we disband throughout the church and wherever we're going, whatever group we're sitting in, we want to hear what's going on because we want to pray for them and be there in it with them. Maybe we're even part of the fix with them. Praise God. Lord, I'm ready to be there. Who's God been letting you know about? In what way might you be going after prayer there? God calls us to prayer and power prayer. It starts with compassion. Number two, power prayer. It's worshipful. Power prayer is worshipful. Listen to this. Verse 5, and I said, this is some pretty good worship now. Nehemiah saying this. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Break it down. O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yahweh, the I Am. You rule this place from eternity past to eternity future, O Lord. God of heaven, you're in charge of everything. You're awesome, Lord. The great and awesome God. Great and awesome God. Like, I can't think of one thing that you can't accomplish. You're awesome. Every moment I come up with something where I was like, boy, I wish God could. You can do 10 times bigger than that. You're great and awesome. Lord, I worship you. Hey, the Awestruck series we went through here, and 8 weeks of in Isaiah just saying, Lord, show me how awesome you are. Show me what it's like to know you. Shape me, Lord, that I might be able to know you better. He says, the awesome God who keeps covenant, like he makes promises and he holds true to them. That's our God. He makes promises and he holds true. And in fact, it says right after it, his steadfast love. Hesed. That's the Hebrew word. His steadfast love. It means a love that will never, ever, ever break down. Never. When will it break down? Never. That's our God. Standing in the gap for us, always. Never does it break down. Lord, you're amazing. To those who love him and keep his commandments. Look, God lavishes out on those of us. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, God's got amazing things planned. And sometimes he might walk you through valleys and tough stuff. And that's time, maybe sometimes through tears in the eyes, but it's time to fix your eyes on him. Nothing will steal my worship. Nothing. Power prayer. A few weeks back, we talked about worship and how it cannot distract. We cannot be distracted from it. At Job chapter 1. And Lord, I don't care what's going on in my life. You will always be fixed, center stage. Lord, may I worship you even in my prayer time. May I constantly bring words back of how great you are. The greatness of God. Hey, do me a favor. At the back of your little pamphlet thing there that you've got, there's some names of God. I put together this little pamphlet hoping that you can go away tonight saying, I'm going to commit to trying to go after prayer in a different way. And so here's some tools that are a part of it, all right? And one of them is the names of God. Do me a favor. Let's just read these names out loud together. We're going to read left to right, top to bottom. So read across, next line, and across, all right? Here we go, left to right. Let's read them out loud. Redeemer, Savior, Healer, King of Kings, Fortress, Rock, Great I am, Almighty God, Holy One, Emmanuel, Cornerstone, Good Shepherd, Abba, Daddy, Light of the World, Our Treasure, Strong Tower, Alpha, Omega, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Shield, Deliverer, Bread of Life, Everlasting Father, Lamb of God, Most High, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, Friend of Sinners. And that's just the beginning, all right? Be looking to ever increase that list. And every time you go to pray, make sure you're grabbing a handful of these and you're walking through them. Lord, I'm stunned that you are Redeemer. On my own, I have nothing, but because of you and bought by your blood, I have everything. You're awesome. I serve you as Savior and Healer and King. And those kinds of approaches to Him, worshipful. Hear me on this. Prayer. There's times where we start it and it starts out quiet. And you might just be mouthing it real softly. And prayer. All of a sudden your mind is like, did I turn off the TV? Right? Or you're praying along and you're like, what time did the kids go to bed? And then all of a sudden you're like, what am I thinking about? And I'm telling you, there's a reason that's happening. All right? And the reason that's happening is this. Because in the moment you're praying, you're not actually believing that prayer has any impact at all. The moment you're praying, you're checking a box. You're not sitting down to saying, this will be some serious fist-pumping, all-in worship of my King. Because He changes things. And you've got my attention. Now I am on my knees, God, because you're the King. And I'm not. And I'm ready to worship you with all I've got. And I don't know what it's going to cost, but I'm in. You're my God. And I'm on it with you. You are King. That's some worship prayer, man. And I'm telling you, you won't forget where you're at in your prayer when that's what you're doing. Give God your attention. Give Him your whole attention. And you worship Him with all you've got. And I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed with what God does in your life. You're going to be in awe of those moments of prayer. And you're going to long to be back in them throughout the rest of the day. It's going to rock your world. Get close to Him. Fist pumping, worshipful prayer. All right? Nehemiah was not like, oh Lord, God of heaven. Great and awesome God. That's not what he was doing. This is a guy crying out for his nation to be saved and for God to come through. I guarantee you he had decibels involved. Lord, oh God, awesome God of the universe. That's what I'm talking about. May God have your all in prayer. And you watch him start moving mountains in your life. Sometimes the mountain he'll move will not be the one you want moved, by the way. Heads up. Sometimes he'll move the mountain next to it, and he's walking you on a path. Walk with him and watch him work, all right? Power prayer is worshipful. Grab some names that mean a lot to you and start praying them big time. Okay, guys? Get some names that mean a lot to you and start praying them big time. Worshipful prayer of him. Number three, power prayer is confessional. Power prayer is confessional. He starts out, let your ears be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel and servants, confessing the sin of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, the rules that you commended your servant Moses. Lord, please forgive me. All right? Lord, I know what you want done, and I haven't been doing it. Please forgive me. Power prayer is confessional. It grasps that you aren't all that, but that He is. May God have your full attention as you humbly apologize. Confession. We admit our corporate sin. Guys, if you're leading homes, If you're married, if you have family, hear me on this one. You are responsible for how your family's doing. You are responsible for the health of the family. And you are responsible for praying over them. And if you're leading in a way that is dissing on God, confess the family sin. Get it real. Lord, please forgive us and forgive me for how I've led us. Forgive the family, Lord. And then lead your family towards him with all you've got. All right? Confession. Hey, in our home, we call this going toe-to-toe. All right? And I know it's a boxing term. Sounds like you're going to knock somebody out. That's not what we do. So going toe-to-toe. It means standing literally facing the person, their toes to your toes, face-to-face close. We call for this. It worked well when the kids were little. That's it, toe-to-toe. And they have to walk up and stand face-to-face with each other and then apologize. And it's not, I'm sorry, right? Because you all know where that goes, right? Sorry. Right? And that's all you get. So it's, will you please forgive me for, and then be specific about what you just jammed them on that needs to be forgiven of. Going toe-to-toe. And when the other person is staring, looking them in the face, and you're able to talk with each other about it, and then say, I forgive you. And then we always say, that's it, hug it up. Close with a hug at the end. And you get, there's laughter. They can't even stand standing toe to toe without starting to laugh. They're like, all right, fine. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. Will you please forgive me? I raised my voice and I should not have. That's not what I meant to do. Please forgive me. I lost my temper and I was wrong for it. Will you please forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. Hugs and everything's good, right? So 3 days ago, a little bit of decision-making in our home going on right now, obviously. And it can bring a little tension here and there. And my wife and I were chatting. And Megan goes, toe-to-toe. Let's go right now. Toe-to-toe. And I'm like, we're good. We got it. She goes, now, please. And I'm like, I get you. So we stand up. We go toe-to-toe. We do the apology to each other. And I give her a hug. And she starts laughing afterwards. And I do the little dip thing and give her a kiss. And start making out with her. And she leaves the room. And just being real with you. You know what? I'm just telling you, going toe-to-toe. Make sure you get things confessed between each other. Guys, we don't leave lists uncared for between friends and loved ones and family members. If you've got an issue with someone in here, get it fixed. If you've got an issue with someone in your home, get it fixed. Toe-to-toe. And then, by the way, take it toe-to-toe with God Almighty. And you stare him in the eyes and you let him know that you're sorry. Please forgive me. There is no greater confession than a toe-to-toe, real, all out, I get what you want, God, please forgive me, confession. All right? Power prayer. It's compassionate. It's worshipful. It's confessional. Number four. Power prayer claims the promises of Scripture. Claims the promises of Scripture. I'm telling you guys, this is a secret you're going to have to latch on to. All right? Look what he does, verse 8. Remember the word that you that you commanded your servant, Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me, keep my commandment and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of the heaven. From there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. All right, do you hear the promise? He's praying. Nehemiah's like, Lord, remember? That's how he started it, first word. That's some power prayer about ready to come up. Like, I'm telling you, this is not my own thoughts. Your thoughts, God. And we're not trapping God in a corner. It's not like God's going, oh, great, he pulled that one on me. Didn't want to have to give it up to him, but now that he pulled the old quote that verse thing, like, that's not what's going on. It's the moment where you're finally realizing that's where God's going. And Lord, you're going there. I'm right there with you. Lord, please use this verse mightily in my life right now. And quote the verse through. I'm telling you, there is no sweeter alignment than as the Word of God said, even through trembling voice or tears in eyes, as you're ready to stand and run with Him, whatever it looks like, that God might get the greater glory, using Scripture to see things changed. Hey, do this with me. Turn back in that same pamphlet right at the names of God thing. Look below it. We're not going to read through all these. This is for you for later time. But I put some categories together. These are some viewpoints God has from Scripture. Some commands, some promises, some hopes. It's up to you to be able to put these into your life as seen fit. But look at them. His greatness. Make sure you grab His greatness and what He's doing. His leading. Are you trying to make some decisions in life? Check out these verses and make sure you're praying verses into your life. His wisdom. Lord, what do you want me to know? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and He will give, right? His guaranteed purpose. God's doing something in your life. Did you know that? And Lord, what do you want done in this? Whatever you have going on in detail, I'm telling you, it can be answered in purpose right here. And pray the purpose back. Occupation. Man, my boss is terrible. You're not saying that, are you, Steve? Yeah, good. And my boss is terrible. But look what it says. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. I mean, Lord, help me live this verse out today. And it's not going well. But I want it to go well, Lord. Even if I have to take one on the chin, I'm ready. I want you to be worked for. I'm not working for my boss. I'm working for my boss's boss's boss. God, may you be glorified as I go in my job today. Or family, or suffering, or temptation. Maybe there's other categories. Hey, if you can't find a verse that applies, give us a call. We as a pastorship will get one or two or five or ten. Talk to your impact group leader. Get some verses. Pray through some things. Know what it is that God wants to do with it. And start praying for that in your life. The moment that the carpet starts making an impact on your knees because you've spent more than 20 seconds there, you're spending time worshiping and you're spending time confessing and you're spending time praying back His word and calling down upon this place the very thing that God wants to do, and watch God move your heart. You will be amazed with what He opens you up to, things He shows you. People He brings in your path. Individuals who maybe want to accept Christ and they don't know how, and they call you and bring you in because you're prepared and you know what's going on. True story, by the way, happened Sunday here. And God at work. I'm telling you, it's cool to see what God's doing. Make sure you pray back the Scripture to God. Hey, where are you struggling most? What is it that's got you kind of rattled? You're like, I don't know. I'm not even sure I'm really in with prayer. I got to be honest with you, Tim. I'm kind of distracted by other things, and this really not pumping me up that much. What do I do? Let me ask you. So what's the thing that is causing you to think? What's the thing that does have your attention? Got it? All right, we're going to get some verses to shoot that thing down. That's what we need to be doing. All right? There's some things that are taking over in your life and they're becoming an idol and it's time to put them down. Lord, what do you want done with that? What does your word say you want done with that? And then rally to that prayer. Okay? Power prayer. No greater power prayer than quoting God's Scripture back to Him. And then calling Him to act accordingly. All right? Power prayer. Our prayer asks of God what is in your spirit, but it allows Him to work. Lord, this is what I would like, but you are God. He says, they are your servants and your people, verse 10, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today. grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's talking about the king. Lord, please walk me before the king in a way that gives me enough favor that I don't die. That's what he's talking about. He's about ready to go into the presence of the king. And he knows that if he asks the king anything that disrupts the king can say, that's it, the man bothers me, kill him. Lord, please give me favor as I walk in. He's requesting, and then he's stepping out in faith big time, and he's letting God manage the details. We're going to see in a little bit how that pans, but I'm telling you, all too often, we think of prayer as simply this one, number five. Just ask, and you're done with prayer. And so all of a sudden, prayer becomes, Lord, help me to enunciate the most selfish things I can comprehend about me and my world. And this is how I want it to go down now. And the end. Good luck with that. And then we go on with life. And like 3 hours later, we're like, what's he doing? Why isn't God at work in this? Right? Prayer doesn't work. Right? Well, not that kind of prayer. Right? We're told God does not answer the prayers where we pray just to consume it upon our own lust, James chapter 4. Don't think you're just going to put the litany of things down on what you want and he's like your magic genie that's going to deliver up. God's got a plan and he's king of the universe and he's moving. And sometimes that plan means a change of what you thought it was going to be. Get ready and live with that and celebrate him for it because he's doing something bigger than you ever thought about. And so, God, what is it? I can tell you that when we started this new year and in a new building and talking about an arsenal coming up and what was going to be preached, and there was nothing in my mindset that was considering I will be stepping down from preaching for a handful of weeks. And I will be going into a surgery, and God willing, things will go great, and there will be quick recovery. Lord, it's in your hands. And so our request is fast, and our request is quick healing on the backside. But Lord, whatever, because you're in charge. So maybe I'm called to preach sometimes, maybe other times I'm just called to be quiet and model. And whatever you want done, Lord, I'm here. How about you? What's God calling you to do or to walk through that would not be on your agenda if you had your choice? But that's God's agenda. And he's saying, right now, I'm telling you, no sweeter moment than right here. Come with me. And it'll be hard, but it will be sweet and it will be powerful. Watch me work. What's God calling you through? And are you ready to pray along the way to see his hand work? You know, as we pray, like, let me just throw this out here. Do pray specifically, okay? Lame prayer. God, could you please bless our family? And then you're like, done. What does that mean? Like, I'm great with it, I guess, but what are you talking about? In what ways? And what's going on? Like, here's a prayer. Lord, please, February 28th, could that be surgery day and us not wait another day or two or five? Lord, can it turn out to be that day? That's our request. We get that you're in charge. Be specific and let's see what God does. Do you know what I'm saying? Be very specific. All right? And so I just put these things down. How can I be specific and yet be humble? Here we go. Ready? Number one, be thankful for what he is doing. Don't always have the list of the things that are broken. Be thankful for what's going well. Be thankful. Number two, be willing to grow through any trial. Willing. Whatever trial you want to bring, Lord. Do be specific. Very specific. Lord, this is how I could see it. But I get you see more than I do. And then the last one, be humble. Just as Jesus prayed, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Man, that's some power praying right there. that is like so worshipful and you're so getting what God's doing. Who knows what he's going to do in your life? Who knows? You know, just one quote I put here. A power prayer longs for God to have his way, not me to have mine. Power prayer, it longs for God to have his way, not me to have mine. And the more we demand my way, and the more we demand that we're upset if he doesn't give me what I want, the more we're trying to flip it and say, no, really, I'm God. Seriously, I am. I need you to respond to me now and do what I'm asking. And God has a way of showing us that's just not so much the truth. You know what I mean? And he's going to get us in the right spot. And so, Lord, please, your will. Your will. I want it done. Lord, help me to understand what you're doing. So request here. Are you praying specifically enough and detailed enough for what God might be doing in your life and how God might be handling that? Laying it before him. Lord, this is specifically what I'm thinking. I'm willing to be wrong. And what would those specifics be? Man, make sure you get the package deal of this prayer coming together. I'm telling you, is this not a little bit different than you sit down for a meal and you started praying right at the meal? This really happened to me a number of times where you're praying and you're like, so I've got this little prayer, like, Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray now that you could just bless this conversation time at the table and bless this food to our body's use, right? And your name I pray, amen. And then you're praying so fast and you're smelling the food and you're thinking of other things and you're like, Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray you could bless this conversation time and bless it to our body's use. What did I just do? I just forgot about the food, you know? And a couple of times, you know, I got the kids going, do you want the food to have anything to do with what we're praying about now? All right, I get you. I got to slow down a little bit, right? How often does our prayer time become the afterthought? It's like we're the regal king walking and God is behind us, supposed to be just blessing us along the way. That's not the way it is, man. God's got a plan and he's moving in this place. Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's shaping hearts and changing lives. Do you realize that we had three people accept Christ on Sunday, right? We had somebody out in the hallways here and where's Joey at? I just saw you in here somewhere. There you go. Right? Is that between or after service? After. So we got, just a chance to be able to say, hey, I don't know what it means to be saved, and a chance to walk somebody to Christ and have them accept. And we had a couple kids at Ignite accept Christ on Sunday night. And I'm telling you, God's moving. Jesus Christ has a plan, and it's to lift his name up. May he be worshiped. And really, this is not the plan. Hear me. Boy, I really hope they're comfortable down there. I hope that broken world becomes this wonderfully comfortable place for them. That's not Jesus Christ's plan. Here's his plan. Broken world, but I will be making changes in their hearts and lives will be rocked and people will be saved and my kingdom will be raised up and God Almighty will be glorified. And oh, by the way, I will be returning again and I am going to set things right. And that's the place I want everybody to hang for eternity. And all of God's men said, that's what I'm talking about. Do not long for this place to be comfortable. Long for this place to be done and eternity to be here. And may everyone who can know his name and hear of his fame hear it. May God get the greater glory. And that's why we're here. Let's start praying that way. And you'll be stunned with what God starts doing in your life. All right? Power prayer. Last one. Power prayer is our first line of defense, not our last. It's our first line of defense, not our last. Notice Nehemiah prayed right at the end of chapter 1. He says, now I am the cupbearer to the king. I was the cupbearer. We talked about that. It means now I need to drink everything and make sure I don't get poisoned, right? And so it says in chapter 2, we're going to just skip over some of this, but here we go. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I've got a job to do. So he steps in. I took up the wine, and I didn't die, so I gave it to him, right? Now, he had not been sad in his presence. because otherwise you die. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. And the king was right. The problem is that means that you're not thankful and satisfied with what he's providing for you. Normally this would be lop his head off right now. So his response, Nehemiah says, then I was very much afraid. Do you think? He's like, in that moment, you know, in A Few Good Men, where Tom Cruise is about ready to confront, and he's taking the drink of water, right? He's doing one of those. He's like, why are you sad? Here we go. Answer. I said to the king, let the king live forever. We all know you won't, but let you live forever, right? Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's grave, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to God from heaven. Are you hearing it? In the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, pray. Pray hard. God's the one moving and it's not us controlling. Lord, what do you want done? And then all the way to the verse at the end, I'm just going to jump down to verse 8. He says, there's a number of things that were given to him. And it says, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may even give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple. He's being given all these things. It says, and for the wall of the city and for the house and all that I shall occupy. And the king granted me everything I asked for. Why? What does it say there at the end? For the good hand of my God was upon me. That's why. See, how do you know your power praying? Because when it gets done, you don't go, have you seen what I have done? Like, that's how you know you've been controlling it. The moment you say, you wouldn't believe what God's done. And you wouldn't believe how he's been moving. And look what God did over here. And the God's hand was upon me. That's what it looks like for prayer to be your first line of defense. It's before, it's during, and it's after. It's, God, I want you to have all of me. Guys, it comes down to this. We're in a war. We're in a war that speaks for the souls of this body. And men, we have talked about this place before in our arsenal as a place that is all about the build, defend, and rally. Build, defend, and rally. Build, like help bring people in and raise them up and disciple them. Defend. No one comes against this place. No spirit comes against this place, but us coming back against by praying to the Almighty King for his hand to be done. Notice what we're not doing. Do not go running around rebuking the dark side, please. We're little created beings. Your power is in your worship. There's your power. You worship him with all you've got. Nothing distracts you. Your knees with the imprints of the carpet, you take on the forces of the gates of hell that this place might raise up Jesus Christ's name even yet again. That's what we're called to do. And there will be devastation and hurt. There will be heartache that comes. And in those moments, we cry together and we pray together and we get on our knees together. And we move through it together. That God locks this place in for his kingdom and his glory. Amen? Man, you got a calling. And your calling is clear. Yes, worship, walk, work, witness. Yes. Yes, being involved around here. Yes. On your own. At home. On your knees. Power prayer. May God move in your life like you've never seen before. Guys, that's my one request tonight. Long for it. Be willing to spend time in it. That the King of the universe, that the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, would make his presence so known in your life that you maybe for the first time have become a prayer warrior for him. That's our call. We're in the next stage of battle in this church, and it calls for our men to rally in prayer like crazy. Guys, this is no small task. The moment you go soft is the moment we start getting rickety. And hey, we might have key people go down at different times. Stay strong. Pray hard and watch God rock this place. Do you realize that since grand opening, we've had, what's the number, 70-something have been saved that we know of, and who knows how many others who've come to that and didn't tell us. 70-something. We had 53 baptized. I mean, God's doing huge things here, and you're called to be a part of that. My request to you is simply this. Hunger for him to put you in the gap. Nehemiah says two chapters later, take your position on the wall and stand. Do not move. May God Almighty get the greater glory. All right? Pray with all you've got, worshiping, using his word, confessing, humble and available and compassionate for what's going on around you. And watch God rock this body like never before. That's our call. And all of God's men said, amen. Let's pray.